Now just think of it, my friends, a righteousness of God on all who believe. Just think of that. Go slow. Don't go too fast. And think of what that means. We'll do it together right now. Colin Cook and How It Happens here. This broadcast is about how the grace of God happens and how our faith happens, how we train our faith in this good act of God to bring Christ to the world, His Son, the Son of God, to bring Him to the world as the Son of Man, so that He stands in for us and substitutes for our sins. Ah, my friend, what an enormous truth this is. You see, this is what Barclay, I mentioned to you the other day, William Barclay, the translator, calls in his translation, a new situation has arisen. But now, that's how he translates that phrase. It's not a translation, a transliteration. But now, he puts it as, but a new situation has arisen. Indeed, it has. And as you think through these issues, the great truth of God, as Christ is presented to your life, I tell you, my friend, a new situation has arisen. What is it? But now, the righteousness of God, apart from law, apart from all human effort, apart from all the pagans tried to do and all the religious people tried to do in Romans 1 and 2, is this righteousness is revealed. Apart from all of that, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Now, you see, Paul's talking about the righteousness of God in verse 21, and we may think, well, is he talking about God's righteousness, that is, the righteousness that God possesses and has and is, or is he talking about the righteousness that he gives and provides? I could be technical and say, is the righteousness of God a subjective genitive or an objective genitive, for those who are interested in that sort of thing? But let's go on. The point is he talking about God's righteousness or a righteousness that God provides? And of course, verse 22 answers that question. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So, this obviously is talking about a righteousness which God provides. It's on all who believe. Now, I want you to think of that for a minute. Just pause. Everyone who believes in Jesus has a righteousness upon him. Let me repeat that. Everyone who trusts in Jesus, who believes in Him as the Savior of the world, the one who died for the sins of the world, the one who was raised for our new life, everyone who believes that has a righteousness upon him. Well, now, how did he get that righteousness? Are we to say that faith is an act of righteousness? In other words, because a man believes, that rather, the act of believing is an act of righteousness? Absolutely not. If that were true, then Paul is contradicting everything he said in Romans 1 and 2, which is that there is no righteousness in man, no, not one. Not even the religious people are righteous. If faith is an act of righteousness, then man has performed an act of the law, that is, an act stemming and flowing from himself. And therefore, that would contradict everything that Paul said. No, faith is simply an act that is believing in something else that is righteous. Faith is not the righteousness. Faith is trusting in the righteousness. And what righteousness is that? Of course, it's Jesus Christ. When you believe, you are counted, my friend, as righteous. There is a righteousness that God puts upon you. When Paul says, but now the righteousness of God is revealed. What is that righteousness of God that's revealed? Why, it's Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ himself, not Jesus as a way to righteousness, not Jesus as a means to righteousness. The great revelation of the Word of God, the great revelation of the New Testament, the great revelation of Paul in the book of Romans is that Christ is our righteousness. And so, you see, when this revelation of Christ is revealed, that Christ is not simply the way to righteousness, but he is our righteousness, when that is revealed, and we believe it, that righteousness is counted as ours. It is upon us. Our Heavenly Father has said, I'm giving you Christ. You don't have any righteousness. You don't have any wholeness and completeness and harmony with God. You don't have any devotion and commitment to him that is perfect. Therefore, I am giving my Son. And my Son is the righteousness that I provide for you. He is the cloak which you wear by faith. That's how you and I need to believe it, my friends. We are broken down. Broken down by our sinfulness, by the frustrations and pain and grief and separation and abandonment that life meets to us on a regular basis. We are broken down by our own sins and our addictions, and we look for a wholeness that God will accept us with. Where do we find that wholeness? Not in the law, not in your commitment, not in your surrender, not in your repentance. We find that wholeness in Christ. Christ is our wholeness. And so, this verse 22 is fundamental for you. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Your faith does not make you righteous. Your faith is not an act of righteousness. Rather, your faith trusts in a righteousness, the righteousness of God provided for you in Jesus Christ. And so, it is so beautiful, it is so peace-giving, it is so energizing to know this, that our God has done something utterly astounding. He himself has stepped down from his throne and become the Son of Man. He is God. He is God and accepted the role, shall we say, it's not easy to express this, of the Son of God, and then became the Son of Man. The Son of Man simply is an expression, I think, expressing the headship of the human race. As we were in the Son of Adam, who was the Son of God, and we all went down and fell and came under the curse of death under Adam, even though we did not do Adam's sin, so also we are now under the blessing of life in the second Adam, the Son of Man, the second Adam, who has risen from the dead for us. So, while you struggle and are so grief-stricken by your incompleteness and your inadequacy, lift up your heart to God and let us all say together, Father in heaven, thank you that the righteousness of God, your righteousness is upon me. I believe that your righteousness is upon me, and that righteousness is Jesus. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus to all and on all who believe. You see, you have to work your mind through the labyrinth of these phrases and words. And you have to say, now wait a minute, let me slow down and think what this says. This says that God's righteousness is upon me who believe. I believe, and it rests upon me. I don't think of my faith as righteous, but Jesus as righteous, in whom I place my faith. That has a major difference in my perception of things, because I don't ask myself, is my faith strong enough? Is my faith good enough? Is my faith complete enough? No, that's a waste of time to think that way. What I ask is Jesus strong enough? Is he complete enough? Is he good enough? Yes. Then I am safe. If you ask, is my faith good enough? You will never be able to say yes. If you ask, is Christ good enough in whom I have faith? Then always you will say yes. Now, where is this taking us? It is taking us to the place of assurance. Well, exactly. You say, well, this is soft Christianity, Colin. You're just trying to give us assurance all the time. Well, heck, of course I am, because that is what the gospel is all about. It is about good news, assurance that Christ is our righteousness and God is for us in this world where the forces of evil are against us. My friend, if you want to go through the time of trouble, if you want to make it to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to need to believe that God is for us and that the good news is good. There is so much Christian talk today that is constantly whipping Christians up to a level that they seem to see as impossible. What needs to be done is to reveal Christ, and to reveal what he is for us, and what he has become for us, our righteousness. And when we do that, then we have courage to move forward, and to bounce back when we're defeated, and to go on, and endure to the kingdom. So what do you do with all of this, my friend? I would say that you learn to pray, Father, I thank you that I am counted as a righteous man, that I'm counted as a righteous woman. There's much more in the following passages that we will discover, which reveals that the interpretation I'm giving you is correct. Paul actually says a little later, we are counted as righteous. And then that leads us to stop our endless fretting. Oh God, help me to become righteous. Help me to become holy. Help me to do this and that and the other. It is not that we don't ask God for things, but we don't use anxiety prayers to do it. We use faith praying. And faith praying can only come from the knowledge that Christ is our righteousness. To be righteous before God is to be reconciled to him, to have no condemnation upon us, to have no curse of death upon us, to have no power of sin upon us. Do you see, we affirm that, even though we may be sinning and failing, we are struggling still. Yet we say, Father, I thank you that Jesus is my righteousness, and that I am not abandoned, and that I am reconciled to you, and that this struggle that I am going through is no longer under the power of death, but the power of life. This is all that is included in this recognition that believing in Christ as our righteousness means that righteousness is upon us. So, my friend, change the way you pray, change your heart of thinking, and let your heart be lifted up with courage. A new day, a new situation has arisen. I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio and God bless.